You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning, I want to reflect with you in this third gospel lesson of the resurrection that we've heard during this Easter tide. I want to reflect with you and notice and pay attention to the words of recognition and remembrance in them. Our four canonical gospels, of course, all conclude with the telling of Jesus' resurrection. Some are longer, like this one. Some are quite short, like Mark's. But they all record the resurrection. All four members of the resurrection quartet also remind us of the messiness of the resurrection story from a human experience and perspective. Each describe how the disciples experience a whole range of things, a mixture of perplexity, fear, confusion, curiosity, and bewilderment. Luke does something different, though, with his insertion of an account of a short journey that two disciples make as they travel westward from Jerusalem to a small village called Emmaus. Why did they go there? Were they just returning home? Frederick Buechner suggests Emmaus was not any place special, except that it was 7 miles distant from a situation that had become unbearable. In a sense, it is a journey that many of us make. Emmaus, he writes, is where we go, where these two went to try to forget about Jesus and the great failure of his life. Yet in this story, Jesus connects all the fragmented and confusing pieces of the last few days and fits his teaching and resurrection life together in the climactic act of breaking bread. A meal, yes, but it's more than just food fuel. It is the sacrament of loving communion, the bread of life. As such, the narrative provides the complete story of salvation. It reflects the story of what the church usually experiences throughout the world when they gather Sunday by Sunday. Of course, I'm aware that this morning is morning prayer, but we can remember what we do typically Sunday by Sunday. It's more than that. It's more than just a meal, though. This resurrection story is about recognition and remembering. In the first instance, I think it is a story of recognition. We're familiar with this kind of story from history and from literature. In the Greco-Roman world, there were numerous accounts of the gods walking around unrecognized with humans while their true identities were hidden from view. In culture, there's all kinds of examples, and it's usually famous athletes, although I've not heard of this with golfers yet. But for certain athletes, typically as quarterbacks and well-known folk like that, like Eli Manning, who dresses up as Chad Powers and tries out for a college team, or David Beckham, this great English footballer who goes undercover at a small Target store and tries to sell perfume. One of my favorites comes from Canada, of course. In Nova Scotia, the hometown of two of the greatest hockey players that we have in Canada right now, Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon, both from Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia. And they were in the Tim Hortons of Cole Harbour, and they were the fellows that you heard kind of when you're going through the drive-thru, right? They said, "May I take your order?" And of course, they're messing it all up for people when they're trying to get their Tim Hortons double-double coffee until they come through the window, and there it is, Sidney Crosby passing them their coffee. In Scripture, of course, one of the best-known stories of recognition is in the account of Joseph meeting his estranged brothers in Egypt for the first time since they sold him into slavery. They do not recognize him. A favorite story of recognition for me is in The Lord of the Rings and the character of Aragorn. When Frodo and his hobbit companions first meet him in Bree at Barlaam and Butterbur's Inn of the Prancing Pony, all they can see is a disheveled ranger of the north. It took them a while to recognize in Strider that all that is gold does not glitter, not all those who wander are lost. In each of these kind of stories, but especially in Luke's account of Jesus on the Emmaus Road, there are stages of recognition. And recognition requires an open mind and an open heart, both of which must go together before which eyes can then be opened as well. These are the three essential elements of imagination and resurrection faith. Like Frodo and his companions walking with Aragorn along the road to Rivendell, Cleopas and his companion walking with Jesus along the road to Emmaus face intellectual and emotional obstacles before they can recognize their king. And when they did finally recognize Jesus, when was that? When did that happen? When were their eyes opened? It was when they were at table with him, when he took bread, blessed, broke, and gave it to them. This echoes the Last Supper account in Luke 22. When you compare this story after the resurrection with the story before the resurrection at the Last Supper, these words are word for word. They're identical. They mirror each other. But these are not just simply words of institution. Take, bless, break, give. And here I'm picking up on a wonderful book by Henry Nouwen. These are the primary gospel action words for us. They're the primary gospel actions of God. What does God do with us? God takes, or maybe better, chooses us in love to be his sons and daughters. Think of all the times that you were rejected, not picked, looked over. The resurrection reminds us that God sees you, has compassion on you, chooses you. God takes your life as it is and transforms it in Jesus' hands. Next, God blesses us, offering us the deepest affirmation of our true selves, for it is not enough just to be chosen. As Nouwen notes, we also need an ongoing blessing that allows us to hear in an ever new way that we belong to a loving God who will never leave us alone, but will remind us always that we are guided by love on every step of our lives. You're chosen, you're blessed, but the recognizing of the next truth may be the hardest one to put into adequate words, at least for me. It's the truth of our common brokenness. We're all broken. Each one of us are like fragile clay pots, as Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 4. We easily break. Some of you have experienced brokenness in profound and maybe even traumatic ways. For others, the brokenness is not from a massive singular fracture, but simply from the multiple hammer blows that accompany a life long lived in a groaning world experiencing the effects of the curse. We are broken. Pain and suffering accompany much of life. How do we respond to this, though? Importantly, I think, we must not avoid, ignore, or deny our brokenness. Whether it is physical or psychic, pain is a problem that cannot be solved, but it can be endured with the crucified Christ present to us. The Apostle Paul speaks to this honestly and poignantly in 2 Corinthians 5. He describes it as a groan, a longing for when what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. In the midst of our groaning, we do not lose hope, because in the Spirit's empowering presence, our brokenness can be pulled away from the shadow of the curse and brought under the light of God's blessing. God will ultimately heal and mend. That is the hope of the resurrection, and it is a real thing. But for now, we require recognizing that God is present with us in our pain and suffering, and in some respects, even now, he can make something beautiful out of our brokenness. Finally, as we recognize and embrace our being chosen, blessed, and broken, we can then comprehend that all this is not only for our own sakes, but so that we and all that we are finds enduring significance in our being given to others. As we are loved, so we can love. As we have received grace, so we are enabled to extend grace. As we've been forgiven, so we can forgive others. As we have been given bread, so we can give bread to others. All of that recognition results in what I like to refer as remembering. Remembering. This remembrance or remembering, the bringing into wholeness, that which is fragmented and broken, occurs when our stories start to make sense in the largeness of Jesus' story. When people look at Christian resurrection faith from the outside, it often appears rather ignorant, strange, and just foolish for some. But when we look at the resurrection faith from the inside, we come to regard the resurrection as the foundation of everything. Our individual stories begin to make sense when we see them within the large Jesus story. Put yourself into that space with the two disciples walking with Jesus. 7 miles long. It would have taken at least a couple of hours. Bring to mind when you've said or thought things like this. What is going on? Haven't you heard the latest news? And insert whatever tragedy, disaster, or grievance you might experience that week. We have no words to explain all this, all that stops us in our tracks. Did you hear that moment where Jesus says, well, what things? And they just like stood and kind of looked. It said, saddened. That gloom. And frankly, all of you, when I look out at this congregation, you look stunning. You look so good, but occasionally, some of you, you can see that maybe there's just that something. Maybe there's a sadness that's there on the edges. And then that devastating phrase, we had hoped. We had hoped. We had hoped this new government would be different this time. We had hoped that the results would have been benign, not malignant. We had hoped I would be offered the job this time. We had hoped this relationship would have worked. We had hoped they would have lived a little longer. We had hoped, we had hoped, we had hoped. Jesus listens to the disciples' confusion, sorrow, and broken hopes, and then he speaks with his own question. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer? Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer with and for us? Jesus listens to them and uses confusion and brokenness as the starting place to weave them into his larger coherent story. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Later, they would recall to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? There it is. The shift from broken hearts to burning hearts. Where else does fire occur significantly like that in the biblical story? For me, I thought of several that came to mind this week. In the burning torch, when God cuts a covenantal promise with Abram in Genesis 15. In the burning bush, when God renews the covenant promise to Moses in Exodus 3. In the burning tongues of fire on Pentecost, when the promised gift of the Holy Spirit descends on the people of God in Acts 2. Over and over again, God makes and renews covenant promises by fire, accompanied with this promise, I will be with you always. The road to Emmaus narrative is the essential journey for all of us, all the time. This is what happens to us over and over again. Amongst other places, if you pay attention, you see this pattern repeated when we gather together and worship. We gather, some of us often maybe even, gather after the confusion of the previous week, where through sometimes just the normal and sometimes abnormal interactions and experiences through recurring misunderstandings or conflicts, our lives get pulled apart and we get dismembered. We echo Cleopas's plea, we had hoped. And we reflect their sad pallor in the gloomy countenance of our faces. As we gather, we confess together that we haven't recognized Jesus in the midst of our pain and struggle. And we don't know why things are so muddled and confused sometimes. But as we gather, We hear the story again. Scripture is read and interpreted. As we gather, we also break bread often. And after re-engaging our imaginations through open hearts and open minds, our eyes can once again be opened to recognize and remember Jesus in the breaking of the bread. We join our hands in that moment when we receive broken bread and join our stories with Jesus. We then leave this encounter with our hearts on fire. We are remembered again within the larger story of salvation. That is the essential story of the gospel, the global dimension of God's large story, and it is contained in four simple action verbs that in Luke's gospel, Jesus enacts both before and after his resurrection. Take, bless, break, give. This action frames the story of salvation. The gospel is the global story of how God is mending the world in and through the life and death and resurrection of his beloved Son, Jesus. This is how we come to recognize Jesus and experience the good news of God's large story, a story that is told, experienced, and received around the world, across cultures, across social barriers, through class distinctions. We take the grace that is extended to us by the beloved hands of Jesus, and despite our confusion and whatever shame we may carry with us, we must take from the Savior, the one who knows everything about us. Take from the one who gracefully extends himself to us in love. And we receive the blessing of this unmerited love and forgiveness, and we do so with thanksgiving. And we break off the bread of life that's offered to us and feed on him. And then we give the bread of life to others so that the large story of salvation continues again and again. Take, bless, break, give. These are the primary actions of God in the gospel. These are the core of the drama that we rehearse every Sunday as we recognize Jesus. As we hear scripture being read and interpreted, we remember. We are remembered by him and in him. So take, bless, break, give. These are the core actions of our life in Christ as we, empowered by the Spirit, having recognized him and been remembered by him, then go out into the world. And I pray you go out today with a burning heart. A burning heart, open mind, and open eyes to see him. And to go into a world to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.